We at Screenfish believe that we are all created in God's image and want to show our support where we can to those in the black community who continue to battle against systemic racism. While our team strives for diversity, we can always do better ourselves in giving voice to those who need the chance to speak out and be heard. In our series, Films in Full Color, we examine films that explore issues specifically within the black community. For each episode, my co-host is Jordan Toms, a pastor of Warden Underground Church in Toronto, and our hope is that through the lens of film, we might be able to shine light on the issues faced every day by African Americans. This week, Jordan and I welcome back Enrico Cabongo to the show to talk about Lost Souls and the spiritual power of music in Pixar's Soul. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Welcome back to Films in Full Color. After a bit of a break, it's been a few months, but I'm so glad to be back with my co-host, Jordan Toms. And welcome back, Enrico. Welcome back, guys.
Nice to be back.
Yeah, man, it's dope to be back. It's been a while, you know, but sometimes life throws things at you that you just gotta hold for a minute and go through one, you know? So it's good to be back with you guys and be able to discuss these films and draw inspiration from it and see how, you know, it reflects today and things like that. So I'm looking forward to going through this one and hearing your guys' perspective on this movie.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. First of all, guys, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, man. It's crazy out here, eh? 2020 Christmas, dang. We want to make it this far, bro.
I was going to say, there's only 6 days of 2020 left now, so it's okay. I will ask, did you get all the things you wanted for Christmas? Was there something that you want for Christmas this year?
PS5, I'm just going to throw it out there. I know.
There you go.
On the top of the list. but nah, I'm just settle for PS4.
Whoa, there's something after the PS2? Wait, what?
Oh, you know what's crazy, man? Like, I don't know. This may sound kind of weird, but as I get older, I'm starting to think about health more.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for Christmas, the things that I asked for is all like vitamins and natural kind of medicines and stuff, you know? So I got things like Irish sea moss and elderberry and zinc and black seed oil and, you know, all these kinds of different things, you know, for me. Because, man, look at this year alone, you know, you don't know what's going on. You're getting older. I look at my kids and I'm like, yo, I want to be here as long as I can for them. Mm-hmm. I got to start making some changes. My body is not recovering or doing the same things as easy as it used to when I was younger. So, you know, I've been kind of thinking about that a lot this year, you know, with everything that's been going on and some other things just in my personal life. And
that's true. That's true.
Man, I got to make sure that I'm okay so I can be here, you know. Yeah,
I understand that. Although you may be the first person I've ever heard ask for zinc in his stocking at Christmas.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. What can I say?
No, I relate to that too, man. I mean, the pandemic threw off all that stuff. So I don't know, man. Honestly, I think for me, my big Christmas gift is let's get through 2020. Let's move on. Which is kind of funny because it's not like January 1st, 2021 is going to be like everything's okay. But it still feels like at least we're starting over a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, if I can do that with a PS5 and some zinc, I'd be rolling in it right now too. That'd be...
I'm with you on that, man. You know what, Steve, man, you're my co-host. You know, you should be gifting me something. You can gift me that PS5.
I was going to give you the zinc. I was gonna, you went, dang, you went for the PS5. Okay.
I already have it. You know, I already have the zinc. I
don't have the PS5. That's right. That's right. My mistake. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, you're expensive.
You are getting millions and billions of streams on your podcast. That's right. From I should be compensated in some way. Like, what do you take this for?
Well, maybe we should throw it out there. If any of our listeners, you know, has an extra PS5 kicking around, message us, and we'll make sure that it gets to Jordan. Because Enrico's already got his, so, I mean, he's good.
I wish.
Oh, man. I've missed this, guys. As we are talking about bringing back films in full color, we're talking about Disney Pixar's Soul, which is now, as of December 25th, airing on Disney Plus. And it is the story of Joe Gardner, a middle school teacher who has dreams of being a musician. And after a very sudden death, which is actually kind of sad to watch, considering that he avoids like a piano dropping on his head, and then he just sort of falls into a hole, his soul goes up to the middle place, and he meets a soul who has yet to be born as they try and get him his life back on the earth. As we talk about this film, just a reminder that this podcast is, as always, rated S for spoilers. Guys, I got to hear what you think of Soul.
I had my suspicions about it when I watched the trailer. I thought it would just be, you know, straightforward. You know, guy's down on his luck. He gets his big break. He dies, and then he goes on this journey, you know. But it was like a total, like, mind spin for me. Like, I thought it was going to go one way, and it went into so many different directions. And it, like, informed me about my own life, and that's what makes a good movie. When it not necessarily makes you escape from reality, but also think about your own life. And then you start thinking, what if I was George? What if this happened to me? What would I do? Joe? Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah, Joe. My bad. But yeah, like, you know, it makes me think, like, what would happen? Oh, actually, funny story. I actually fell into a manhole once in my lifetime.
Whoa.
Yeah, I fell into a manhole one time. And just watching that scene gave me flashbacks on, like, what if that happened to me? And I woke up and I'm in like a spirit's body, you know? But just back to the movie, just really made me think about life is something that we take for granted. Hmm. And then when we don't have it anymore, all we want to do is go back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I won't get into too much details right now because we're going to go through it, but just a quick overall kind of first thoughts for me is I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was thought-provoking. It was pretty deep. It's informative. And, you know, the way that it was shot, the content, the way it was written, even how the visuals look, all of that stuff, I thought it was pretty, you know, stunning. It was done really well. It wasn't just another typical kind of kids animation movie where it's just, you know, fun and kind of from, you know, a kid's perspective, running wild and do whatever we want, that kind of thing. But it makes you really think and question things and you start to see, you know, maybe the things that I'm putting value in isn't really valuable when it comes down to it. You know, it kind of gave me feelings of, it's kind of in the same vein as Inside Out, if you remember that movie.
Yeah.
Same director, right?
It was?
Same guy.
Yeah. So that person, You know, I don't know who that is, but just judging off those two movies that he's done, man, he's onto something really dope where, again, like, externally it looks like something else, but internally is where the real work is done, you know? And that's what it was for Inside Out, and that's what it was for Soul. So it was done really well, man. And I think it's a breath of fresh air, and kids should, and I hope that they do connect with it, because it's coming. It's different than what's out there, you know? So, yeah, I just hope that it's received well. I mean, Inside Out was received well, so I'm pretty sure this one will too. But it was dope. What do you think, Steve?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I loved it. It isn't funny like Inside Out was funny. Like, there's funny parts.
Yeah.
But this one, to me, is much more ground, even though it's, like, wild and, like, out there. It's, like, more grounded to me. It feels more grounded. And this is a guy, Pete Docter is a director. He also did it. He also did Monsters, Inc. But, I mean, it feels like Inside Out. I think it really does. And interestingly, he said that when somebody asked him, was the plan always to have a black lead character? And it wasn't. Like, it just started in his head. Like, he's a white man, middle-aged white man, and he said, I just started having these questions. But they brought in Kemp Powers, who's African-American, and he helped shape the film. But he said it just started because he just started sort of asking these questions about his life, you know? And I think in that sense, it's a tougher get for kids.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that as a bad thing. Like, Croods 2 with Nicolas Cage came out. It's much more ridiculous, and like, my kids took to that one more easily because it's much sillier.
Yeah.
But they liked this one. They just didn't really know. They couldn't react the same way. But I thought it was amazing. And, like, I thought there were times where it actually, like, bordered on profound.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say that lightly or often. And this one, I think, warrants more than one watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing I like about this movie, is that it works on a couple of levels. And there's a couple of, like, there are about two or three good stories going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the story of 22 is almost separate than Joe's.
Yeah.
They're on different journeys, but they're both well thought out.
Yep.
Yeah.
What I'd like to know from you guys, since this is films in full color, what did you think of the representation of black culture in this particular film?
The fact that they went to jazz just hit the right note.
Hmm.
Because jazz is the originator of so much music right now. And, like, jazz is just soul. Like, it goes together. And the fact that it was kind of like a legacy from the dad to the son played a good part too, because in black culture, a lot of our history is not in, like, the libraries. It's taught from families and generations.
Mm.
So that's why, like, when I was, like, watching the movie, I just felt like a lot of culture in that movie, when even the pictures on the wall and on the mirror, it was like real jazz musicians. I think I saw one of them, B.B. King.
Mm.
And, like, if you heard B.B. King, like, you know he's, like, he's one of the dudes of jazz. Like, that, he's jazzy. Quote him, the movie. But, yeah, honestly, they really did their thing. Even the middle, Joe. The fact that the student that he taught and the student that gave him the opportunity was a black student.
Hmm.
that spoke volumes to me. He said the only reason why I came to school was your class. So the fact that that young black boy was looking up to a black male and they both shared that connection through music, it just, you know, just it's a beautiful connection, because I'd say the black people are very musically gifted people.
Yeah, I think Enrico hit on some really, really great points in terms of black culture. I agree with every single one of them. Also, I would just add, you know, it's interesting too, like how, you know, in the part of the movie where he's kind of reflecting with 22 about his life, he's in, they go in that door and he's like, no, I'm not this person. And so, you know, he puts his hand on the thing and then it's like a whole room showing his life. Remember that part in the movie? Mm. And she becomes enticed a bit about his life, and not like everyone else's life who's, you know, has been her mentor throughout the movie, you know, like Muhammad Ali or her mother Teresa or other people that have had amazing lives. But what connects with her is kind of the struggle and the pain. Mm-hmm. You know, she said, why is your life so sad? Like these kinds of things. And mm-hmm. and I think the way that they added that in wasn't offensive to black culture, but I appreciate them adding it in. Like, you know, it's hard at the same time. Like his life was hard. Mm-hmm. And yes, he has that legacy of jazz, and jazz, like Enrico said, has influenced a lot of genres of music. And it's a black genre, you know, and all of those things. And it permeates, it penetrates throughout all, like musically everywhere. But at the same time, you know, you see kind of the struggle too of him growing up and being a black man. They include that in the movie. You know, his mother says, I don't want you going through the same thing as your father. You know, look what music did to your father, you know. And I don't think it says in the movie, maybe you guys caught it. If it did, I could have missed it. But I don't think it says how his father passed or why he's not there anymore, right?
Yeah, it didn't say, it didn't mention.
Yeah, I was waiting for that part of the story. I have seen, well, I mean, Coco's a very different story, but I mean, they have that element in it, and they make it clear that somehow music was the thing that drove them apart in Coco. But in this one, I don't think they mention it at all.
I don't think they mentioned it. So, you know, but I guess he was kind of the same thing, even though he was great at jazz and stuff. I guess he was looking to take that next step, but he never got it. And that's why his mom was so adamant about saying, you know, does this give you a pension? Does this give you a full-time job? Are you actually making money off this? Because your dad chased it. And, you know, it seemed like he didn't get those things that he was hoping to get financially, and the opportunities he was hoping to get from music. Because she even says it was this shop that paid the bills, right? And I think that's another thing, too, about even, you know, you talk about black culture and just, you know, that to show that the mom was an entrepreneur, her own boss. Mm. And she was doing that through sewing. Like, black women love to sew, you know, especially older black women. And that's a mean business, you know. So I thought it was true to that as well. So with everything Enrico said, I agree. And then also on the other side, and just kind of showing the struggle and just trying to get through life and those kind of things, I think they respectfully conveyed in the movie.
It was interesting. Kemp, another comment that Kemp, what's his last name here? I want to make sure I get it right. Kemp Powers, one of the writers, when they brought him in and they said, look, we want you to really make it feel authentic. And they sort of, and he said to them, he said, well, for real? Like you're, and they said, yeah. And he was expecting a lot of pushback. So for example, he said to him, one of the most important moments and scenes in that film is that he said, if this is going to be about a black male character, he's going to be, two of the things important to him are going to be getting a suit and a fade. And And they have this whole scene in the barber shop, right? And all this stuff. And I thought that was so interesting. Like, that was an important location to have in the film, right? This sense of community in the barber shop.
Yeah. That's dope. Yeah, that's true. And one other thing I wanted to mention, too, you know, since this is, you know, a Films in Full Color episode, I think it's important. So when I seen the trailer, I was very excited for this movie, and I couldn't wait for it. I was like, this movie's going to be dope. Then when I watched it, you know, and I'm like, okay, this is going really well. It's not a letdown. But then when he falls in the sewer and he kind of has that out-of-the-body experience and the soul leaves him and he goes to the middle place, I got really upset. Because I was like, dang, is this whole movie going to be about this black guy that's no longer black and he's just a blue soul? Because it seems like they do this all the time when there's a starring lead black actor. Like, you look at the Princess and the Frog. She was mostly the frog in the movie. You look at Spies in Disguise with Will Smith. He was mostly the pigeon in the movie. And I was just like, man, why do we have to follow this same kind of outcome when it comes to leading star black actors or actresses? Like, why does it have to be promoted? Like, yeah, you know, this is a starring black person in this animation movie, but then when you watch it, like, there's something else but black the majority in the movie. So I'm watching this, and when that part comes and I'm there watching it, I was angry, and I started to, like, actually kind of a bit cool off from the movie, because I was like, man, like, this is trash. Like, this is not what I was expecting. But it didn't last that long. There's a nice little piece of it, but it's not too long, and then it goes back. And even though he switched souls into someone else in his body, it's still there. And then eventually he goes back to his own, and there's a nice chunk of him being himself again. So I thought that was really dope, because in order to convey the message that they're trying to convey in the movie, that part is needed, but it wasn't too long and it didn't stay like that for the majority of the movie. So I thought they balanced it well compared to the other ones where they didn't do that at all. So
I like that you pointed that out. And actually, I'm interested in how you felt about that, because at one point, like, you did sort of touch on it there. At one point, even I thought it was weird that Tina Fey spent so much time in his body.
Yeah.
But they did switch it back, and they didn't seem to lose the cultural aspect at the same time. Like, I wasn't really sure how you guys would have experienced that in watching that.
Like, for me, when I kind of felt the same way about, like, oh my gosh, here we go again. The black guy's a mascot now. Like, you know, it's here to entertain. And then I started like really paying attention to it. And I was just like, okay, the fact that he's blue and he loves jazz reminds me of the blues. I'm just like, okay, maybe they try to do something here. And then when they were talking, like, alongside each other in the field, it's just something I don't know, maybe it was the dialogue that they had, like one another. And then when she said this voice is very annoying, and then he was like, why did you choose that voice? And he's just like, I just sound like a middle-aged white woman. And I was just like, that is hilarious. And I don't think it might have went over some people's head, but I'm pretty sure if you're a black person and you heard that, you'd be like, I automatically resonate with that, because I know there are some middle-aged white women that sometimes, like the Karens, that get on my nerves. That's exactly what, like, came to my head. I was like, okay, this is Karen. She's going to say something. But just, like, the way that they filmed it, going back into the world, like, the earth, and then living life when he was trying to hail a cab, he was just like, it's bad enough that I'm already in the suit. What's it called? The scrubs. Mm. But he said it would have been hard either way, and for me it was just like because he's black. Yeah. That's why he's black in New York, and it's hard for a black man to hail a cab. Like that's what came to me. It's just like the little subtle things that, you know, like you wouldn't, a white person wouldn't see, but black people would be like, yeah, I get that. I totally get that. Like when the cat was trying to shave the man's head, I was just like, this man's lineup is about to be messed up.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, for me, like when it comes to that kind of the role reversal, and I don't know, maybe I'm reading too into it, but this, you know, this is my perspective. This is kind of what I get from it, is that I think the purpose of them doing that was intentional, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it was trying to show and display something that involves race, but is also outside of race. And so what I mean is, like, you think about 22, you know, 22 is not a color. It's just a soul that is on this quest to find out what her spark is, her passion is, her purpose is. And then once that is found out, she goes to Earth, and then she becomes a living body of flesh and human, right? And she's been there, she's been in this middle place, you know, for thousands of years, she said, because every mentor she gets on their nerves. They're not able to get her to find out what her purpose and her passion and her spark is. And her task is kind of just getting on their nerves, and she doesn't even want to go to Earth, she explains. And she likes where she is because she knows what's expected already. That's what she said. I know what to expect. And so when she switches bodies, or when she becomes Joe, when her soul goes into Joe's body and Joe goes into the cat's body, it's interesting that it's through that perspective of this soul that doesn't identify with race, but is being played by Tina Fey, who is white, and who this voice that she puts out and says is a middle-aged white person. So race comes into it. Mm-hmm. But she, through being in a black person's body, she ends up experiencing life. And it's through that experience that she's awakened to what her purpose in her life, her passion is. Mm-hmm. At the flip side, for Joe, he got so entangled and caught up with just jazz. He eats, sleep, breathe jazz. That's all he does. Mm-hmm. But through her being in his body, he was awakened to, oh, like, there's more to life than just jazz. Mm. Like his barber, for example, he's there and he's learning new things about the barber. And it's like, how come you never told me any of this stuff before? And the barber goes, well, you never asked me, because he's always too busy talking about jazz.
I love, you know, that part. I love that part. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
He's in the subway and this person's playing music, and you know, 22 in his body takes the time to stop and listen to it. It's like, oh, this is so beautiful. And then he's starting to realize, yeah, this is beautiful. But he doesn't even take in those kind of normal everyday things that we take for granted, because we're so caught up in what we're trying to pursue or what we're trying to get. And it becomes habitual to the point where we don't even see the beauty in all things, even the simple, small things that we pass every single day. And it's through that he becomes awakened to it. And it's like, oh, damn. So I think that was intentional there, where it's like he becomes aware of life and his purpose is much more than just jazz, which he thinks that's what he's created for. Mm. He doesn't understand that till someone else is in his body. And through them being in his body and them taking the approach in his body that he doesn't do it himself, he starts to see, like, oh yeah, I'm too caught up in this, but like all these other things is beautiful. And like I said, you know, Tina Fey, 22, this soul that hasn't been assigned to a human body yet, it's through his body that this soul is able to experience life and actually complete the quest and task of finding that is and is now ready to be assigned to life in a human form. So I think it was intentional to show both. Like, there's race involved, but it's also outside of race as well.
Hmm. You were talking there, you talk about him being so obsessed. One of the things I loved about the film, I did not expect, like, this may be the first Disney movie I can recall where anybody says, don't follow your dreams. Yeah. And it's like, not, well, I mean, the mom is kind of like, a wet blanket, right? She's like, okay, you know, do that. But there's also this undercurrent of, like you said, obsessing over one thing, so much so that they even call them lost souls. I love that. I was like, that's what I love from a Pixar movie, is when it can take an idea and you say, this is okay, obviously, you know, he wants to be this musician. And it's a good thing he wants to be the musician. He's pouring everything into being the musician. But then there's this other side to it where it's like that actually drives people into this sort of dark place because he's not thinking about everything else. Like that scene with the barber, I love because, you know, the barber's like, you just never asked me, man. Mm-hmm. You never asked before. Because all they talk and before he goes in, he says, "Oh, this guy loves me because we like to talk about jazz." Mm-hmm. But he never gets to the real part. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys this. This movie talks a lot about finding your spark and finding your purpose, and I was wondering what you think that means to you or in the film, and are they different in the film? Are they different in general?
I'll let Rico go first.
Like, I would say I'm just like Joe. Hmm. That the spark and purpose were so blurred that he did not know that her spark wasn't her purpose. Hmm. You know, and it really confused me because me personally, my whole life and till now to this movie, kind of I thought my purpose was just, you know, what God ordained for me and what I need to do, what I have to bring into the world. But I also forget sometimes my purpose can be consuming. If I don't have a spark, which is, I'd say the spark is something that makes you just rejoice. Joy. That's what spark is. She was finding, 22 was finding joy in all the little things. Because when in the great before, she didn't have smell, she didn't have taste. But when she got and really started living, she's like, I can taste this. This smells good. And it's making me feel good. I find joy in things that people find mundane. And that's going to be the fuel for my purpose. Mm. I'm not going to let my purpose just become this thing that consumes me to where I'm a lost soul. Where I've forgotten that I need to live. Like, yes, I have something to do, but let me take a break and just breathe. When's the last time I walked and just looked at nature? Or did something goofy just because I want to laugh? And that's how I feel about the spark and the purpose. It's like you can't have one without the other. You have to find both of them. Because if you just have the spark and you're just, you know, living to just live and you're not doing anything, then that's going to be a short life. Hmm. But if you have purpose, you're going to have a very long life. But what did you live it for? At the end of the day, what did you, like, you did the things that you wanted to do, but you're sad. Why are you sad? Because you didn't take the time to live when you had those little moments. Because a lot of people think that the big moments are the best moments, but little moments are really like what you have to count. Like those little things in life. Like, did I say hi to that person yesterday? Or did I do this? Like, when a person holds the door for me, I feel really good. Before entering the building, I feel really good. Or when someone says, bless you. You know, it's just these little things that just give you the spark to continue on.
I started laughing a little bit while you're talking because it looked like you were starting to cry, fam. What? <That's>...
which Jordan thought was hilarious. I'm...
No, that was good. Yeah, I mean, for me, like, it's interesting. Like, as the movie was going on, I thought that spark and, like, spark and purpose was basically the same thing. They just had a different word for it. So I thought, you'll find your spark, like, when you find, like, your purpose, because it seemed like it was suggesting or pointing to, like, you know, go to the U Academy and try all these different things. And when you find out what you're good or what you're created to do and be, then you'll get that pass to go to Earth. And it's kind of like that's what your purpose was. And so Joe was like, yo, I'm great at music. So he brings 22 around music to kind of see it like, yeah, this is my purpose. Because he also thought, you know, this is his purpose. This is his spark. But it wasn't connecting with her, right? So I was looking at that, and I was, like, thinking, okay, like, this movie's about kind of, you know, like, spark and purpose is the same thing. It's the same concept. They're just calling it different. But it wasn't until the end of the movie where I seen where it's different, that it's not the same thing. And for me, what changes that, what made me change my mind, is at the end when he's ready to go to the great beyond, the Jerry comes out of nowhere, right, and says, oh, like, you know, don't worry about Terry, we took care of him, do you want a second chance, you want to go back to Earth and live your life? I say, what do you mean? And basically what the Jerry says is that it's very rare, if not rare, non-existent at all, that we are inspired. That's what she says to him. You inspired all of us. And it's because of that inspiration we want to give you the second chance. Right? And so, for me, you know, the spark for me means it's to live life whole. You know, it's to, like, to fully embrace life and live it. And so what that looks like is, if I had to sum it up, it would be like, you know, spark means to be inspired by life, but also to inspire. Mm. Towards the end of the movie too, where he's reflecting on everything and he's going over his life, you know, and he looks at his childhood and being at school and the times with his dad. And then when 22 is in his body and 22 is helping the student out that came and said that they want to quit band class and not play instruments anymore. But 22 is talking to her and hears her play and says, no, you're great. Like, you shouldn't quit. And then she's like, okay, I'm not going to quit. I'll see you next week. And then, you know, Joe says to 22, like, yeah, she just wants to hear someone basically compliment her and say, like, she's good at this. Like, she's not going to quit, but she's just kind of looking for that attention. You know what I'm saying? But it's like in those moments, in the walking, you know, in the looking at nature, like Enrico alluded to earlier, like all of that stuff is what makes up life, and that you're inspired by that person in the subway singing and playing keys, or that's what spark is, being inspired by life, by everything, finding the beauty and goodness in all things, and even in the rough things. Like 22 even mentioned, like that person that yelled at her in his body on the subway, right? But she said, like, I like that. Like, it was different, but I liked it. And it's like, that's what it is, just embracing, accepting life for what it is, being inspired by it, but also living to inspire others the same way and how you're being inspired. And I think that's what a spark is.
There's this moment in the film where it actually says a spark is in a soul's purpose. And I remember that was the first time that I went, wait, hold on. Like, you're drawing a distinction, because so often in this movie, again, I was like you along the way, I'm thinking, they must be the same thing. They're saying the purpose of life is to enjoy life and go forward, but they're not. And I thought that was really beautiful. Like, his spark is music, but I think his purpose becomes like mentoring. Like, there is a heavy theme of mentoring and caring for the next generation in this movie, not just with 22, but like the kid that comes, that's going to quit their music lesson or the class. And when he goes back.
Even the guy that invites him to play in the show.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And that's sort of like, I took this because of you, I think Enrico said before. Here's my question. At the end of the movie, has he found both of those things? Or, like, do you think he's found those things? Because I think he does, but I couldn't tell you what I think he thinks they are.
What, in terms of the spark and purpose?
Yeah, because, like, he gets another chance, and she says, you know, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? He says, I don't know, I'm going to live every minute of it.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming he finds it, but I don't think there's any moment where he says, this is what my purpose is.
Yeah, yeah.
The funny thing is, too, I feel like the movie has this theme of accepting the unknown, accepting things that you don't know are going to happen to you. Because he didn't know that he was going to die. 22 did not know that she was going to meet Joe. Like, all of these things, they did not know. And when 22 went on Earth, she didn't know how to live. She didn't know how to talk. She didn't know how to walk. But accepting the fact that I'm in a situation and I don't know if I'm going to be okay, but I'm just going to keep living and do my best, that's kind of like its own purpose and own spark of accepting that I don't have all the answers. And I saw that beautifully when Joe was talking to his mom. Like, I went through this with your father, and now I'm going through this with you. Like, I already know what this path leads to. It leads to me supporting the family. But the son was just like, it's different this time. And even though I don't know if it's going to go great or not, it's what I love, and this is what I need to do. And I have to accept the fact that things might not go my way. And at the end of the movie, I feel like that was a really good representation of, even though the world throws things at me and hits me on my blind side, it doesn't mean that I have to stop living. It just means I have to continue and find the spark in every situation that comes my way. So my purpose does not die.
Yeah, I definitely think he gets it at the end. Like what I was saying earlier, like just before that happens, he's kind of reflecting on his whole life from his childhood, being with his dad before his dad is no longer there. Mm-hmm. With being in school, playing music, then meeting 22 and 22 being in his body, all of these things, and he sees in the midst of that that's what the spark means. It's like just accepting life as you go, and the relationships and the beauty in it, and the nature and creation, and taking time to acknowledge someone's talent in the subway station, you know, and how beautiful and good it is, and how that can inspire you, and all of these different things, you know, that's what makes up the spark. And then at the end, and I think, you know, part of how the movie goes out pretty much for the whole movie, it's about, you know, it's about 22 and it's about Joe, right? And it's like, you know, them trying to figure out what their purpose is and their spark is. But at the same time, what the movie does great is that even though it's direct for them and it's personal for them, the viewer can identify with each character, specifically with 22 and with Joe. And it's not limited to them. There's other characters that we can, you know, identify things with too. But because the movie is about them, we can identify with them. And you know, that's why we're having this podcast. And we've expressed already earlier that there's things in both of them that we identify with. And it makes us think and question things and all this kind of stuff. Now it's been profound. And so that's kind of how the whole movie is set up. It's personal with them, and it's about them finding their spark and their purpose. And at the end, I think the movie, I think how it's written and directed, the movie switches from them being personal and it's about them to now it's directed to the audience and the viewer. Mm. So it's like, I don't know, because the way how I see it, the movie is ending with, I'm not going to tell you what Joe's purpose is, because the way how it ends is a question for the viewer. What is your spark? You figure that out. And that's why there's no definite, this is what my spark is, because it leaves the question open for the person watching it. It doesn't want to sway someone in by saying, oh, my spark and my purpose is this, because it just told you, Joe just said what it is. But it, now it leads to imagination, like, okay, I got to figure that out on my own. Mm. And it's pretty dope. Like, I think the movie too, like a lot of it, like you see God in it. Like this is a very God movie. Like even just what I just talked about right there, and how it changes the question, and leaves it, and it goes from others or the stars in that movie to the viewer. That's very like Jesus, like with the disciples, when Jesus says, you know, who do the people say that I am? You know, and then they say, oh, you know, some people say you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah, some say, you know, you're John the Baptist, all this kind of stuff. But then he switches it and he goes direct to them. Well, who do you say that I am now? Mm. Oh, I say you're the Messiah. It's like the same thing with that ending of the movie. You know, what is your spark? I don't know what I'm going to do, because it's now it's direct to us. It's up to us to figure that out. We answer that question. That's why it leaves it open, you know? Mm-hmm.
I love that. You know, one of the things I love about this film, and maybe this transitions to another question I have too, but is it Dorothea Williams? Is that the jazz singer or the? I think that's her name. But she makes this speech that I love, and she talks about this fish.
Yeah.
And it's not. I don't want. This is just water. I want the ocean. Mm-hmm. You're already there. This is just water. And there's some sort of difference there, even if the location is the same, it's the way that they understand it and the way they experience it that is different. You know, it's like you're in the ocean. No, this is water. I want the ocean.
And I think this is another profound moment in the movie. I think there's a few of them, but this is one of them. Is, you know, that speech, right? And it's like, because going back to you know, defining what spark is, what purpose is. You know, I really identify with Joe, and I was like gripped from the beginning of the movie because he's a musician. I'm a musician, as you guys know. Mm. And, you know, this guy is great at what he does, but he just hasn't gotten a shot for some reason. And he still loves it. You know what I'm saying? He was hoping to make, you know, a career out of it, all of these things, but he hasn't done it. So he just settles for, you know, a middle school job where he can teach music and teach jazz because that's what he loves. It's like, you know, if I can't do what I want, which is make a living off of this as a career, you know, I'll settle for this because at least I still get to, you know, play and do the thing that I love, even though it's not on the scale I would like it to. And then he finally gets his shot and he gets his chance and he performs and it goes great. He kills it. She's like, you know, come back tomorrow, all this kind of, he asks, what's now, you know, what's next after this is done? She says, you know, come back tomorrow, we do it again. And he says, you know, like, I just thought I would feel different. Mm. He finally achieved what he wanted, but it didn't satisfy him. You know what I'm saying? And that's the difference, again, too, between a spark and your purpose. Mm. Your purpose, like, it could be satisfying in the moment, you know what I'm saying? And it brings you joy and it's good. There's nothing wrong with it. But, like, once you get it, it's like, this is it? Because there's still something missing, and that part that's missing is the spark that the movie alludes to and tries to identify for the viewers, you know? And then that's where that great speech comes, like, yeah, I want the ocean, but like, you know, like, this is the water. You're not realizing this is the same thing, but it's like, no, I want this. It's like, you got it, but you're not satisfied by it. You're still missing out something, you know? And I think the movie does good at that. And then that's why he's like, all right, he tells 22 after he goes and searches for her, like, you know, I live my life. I did what I wanted. I accomplished it. I already did it. Like, here, take this and you go back. Like, I'm done living because I did that. But, like, I'm still kind of not complete with it. Mm. You know? And you haven't even been assigned to a human body yet. Like, you're just a soul. So, you know, you take this and you go and do it. And he's willing to give it up. And it's just kind of, again, you know, for me, I don't know, maybe I'm being too spiritual here, but it just kind of goes back to God again, you know, where it's like we can live life and pursuing all of these things and it can bring us joy, it can bring us money, it can change our lives and all of these things. But at the end of it, we're still left not satisfied. There's still a void missing, you know, and it's not only until we realize like what that is, and that is God, like that spark, that is God. It's goes back to this whole, you know, living life fully and being inspired by life and embracing life, the good and the bad. And the reason why you can be inspired by it is because the Creator is living in you and you're seeing it through His lens. And it's in the midst of that that you're able to be inspired and give inspiration to others, no matter whether you're going through a good time or a bad time. And I think that's part of Joe's second chance. When he goes back, he understands that, but the movie ends in it. And again, it leaves it to the listener, like, or to the viewer, you know, and it goes personal to them. So I just, yeah. So it's very profound, man. I need to watch it again.
Well, you can on Disney Plus. You know what? Actually, what you said there, though, actually is perfect, because the question I was going to ask you goes right back to something you said. I'd love to talk about music for a little bit. I know it's late and stuff, but the idea of music in this film is almost a spiritual experience, if not actually a spiritual experience. And I would love to hear from you. Well, I know, like, Jordan, yeah, I know you do hip hop. You like, you've got albums, and like, but just what is it about music that connects with the soul on such a deep level?
Rico, you got this.
For me, It's weird to say, but music is pain. Hmm. Music is like what you feel at that moment, at that very second. Like, when I was in a deep, dark space, I was just like, I need to escape. I need an out-of-body experience. Like, I feel like my soul is crying right now.
Hmm.
And I just cling to just like, someone make noise, because this white noise is too loud for me. And that music just makes me move without moving. It makes my emotions, it validates me. It validates the pain or the joy or the fear that is going through my spirit and my soul right now. And I feel like that's how it felt for Joel when he reached out, when he reached in his pocket and he found all that junk.
Hmm.
He saw that junk and he was just like, that's when 22 ate the pizza. And she felt so good inside because she finally got to taste. Oh, that lollipop, she got that when she was in the chair and she felt in control. You know, she felt like she was someone of importance.
Hmm.
And the leaf, when it was falling down, she was looking at the leaf and she was relaxed and calm. All of those emotions composed that song. That's when he closed the notebook and the music notes and he laid it down. It's like he laid his emotions down and he was just reading his emotions and it came out as a song. That's how I feel about music and poetry at the same time. Because music is just, I find music really sacred to me. And going back to on the spiritual plane, that when you're in heaven, the rocks are singing.
Hmm.
Just that thing that, like, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord, that it's so overtaking that inanimate objects are going to start, like, singing and rejoicing. And then again, that's why I feel like they chose jazz for the black people. Because black people have been suffering, and they've just been through traumatic experiences. And especially for the black people that came from America, to hide what their agenda, they sang hymns.
Hmm.
They sang hymns. They sang songs of encouragement, songs of mourning. And those songs, I guarantee you, have been passed down more than a book.
Hmm.
Because a book can get burned and destroyed, but a feeling and a movement cannot die if it touches a person, just one person. If it touches one person, I guarantee you that person is going to go to another person, hey, this made me feel good and I want you to feel this way. Mm-hmm. This made me feel relaxed and I can see that your soul is uneasy. So here, come listen to this song. That music is just a big part of life, and I can't live in a world without music.
I think music connects so deeply because, like with the movie shows, throughout it, and especially in Joel's reflection at the end, is that it embodies life. Everyday experiences, pain, suffering, joy. You know, celebration, defeat, creation, like just everything, you know, it embodies spark, going back to the movie and using their language, spark. And what makes it beautiful is that all of those things are reflected in the music. Just from one person's perspective, unless there's featured artists. And then you can listen to so many other people on those same kind of topics and get other perspectives, and it's just never ending.
Mm.
So you're just constantly inspired, even if it's the same topic. It's just, again, I'm going back to this, but it's just like the scriptures. It's just like reading the Bible. Like, we all can look at a passage in the gospel, and there'll be some similarities or common things, but then we'll see things that from different perspective that we haven't seen, and we'd be inspired and like changed by that and be like, whoa, like, because you didn't see it at first, but now you see it. And it's like that uniqueness of that one person and seeing things from that perspective that we may be blind to or not see, like we now are able to see it. And it's like something new for us, and it's like mind-boggling, you know? And I think music does that too. And it's also a release. It's a way of, it's a way of dealing with things that you're going through, or, you know, or a community is going through, just kind of like what Enrico talked about with the hymns, you know? Yeah, just kind of, you know, different anthems and things that, that communities end up creating as a way of expressing whatever they're going through, and those kinds of things. And also too, like it, there's room for imagination again in that, you know, you hear things and you're able to like again, we all can listen to the same song, and then we can, just like this movie, we all just watched the movie, and we have different perspectives, and we're talking about it, and like, I'm being moved by what you said because I didn't see it, and I'm like, yo, like, man, that's another part of the movie, to the things that I'm already like, think that's profound, and things that I'm still thinking about and tripping about, then you're bringing this into it, and it's just adding more to it. I'm like, oh my gosh, like,
yeah.
And so music does that too. And also it's, I think another big part about music is the identity part and the relatability to it. Like, we can identify with it. Like, there's sometimes where I'll be going through things, whether good or bad, and be like, yo, no one understands and no one gets it. But then I can turn to music and be like, this person gets it. This person understands. I'm not alone. And it's a way of bringing healing and release and freedom from whatever I've gone through or going through, at the same time, you know? And I also think even just the way that God created us, you know, and in our being, in our brain, you know, and I'm not a person that knows so much about the body and can name all of these different things, but I do believe there's certain things that in our brain and how we were created where it just identifies with music in a way that other things don't. And like, the impact with it is just something, you know, just amazing. Like, that's unlike no other thing. You know, whether it's like, I don't know, whether it's like dopamine and stuff and how all that works and how it moves and just how it, yeah, how it responds to when you hear music and words and that kind of stuff. Like, I think there's also that part of it as well. And like, you know, I think about like in the Psalms where it talks about sometimes you don't have words to say, but I pay attention to my groan or to my cry. Like, that's another kind of expression of music. Like, I don't even need words, but just in my groaning or in my cry, you know, in my gibberish or whatever it is, my melody, like, you hear that and it means something to you. Like, it's just connection, you know, like, so it's pretty profound. And I think that's why all humans connect with it. Like, just not, I don't think there's one human that would say like they don't like music or they hate it or they can't connect with it, whether it's an instrumental or a different genre or whatever it is. It's just something about it that's all of us connect with.
Yeah.
Like Justin Bieber. I just, when he opens up, man, I'm like, I'm transported. No, I'm kidding.
What do you think? You keep asking us these questions and you're not saying your perspective.
I'm listening. No, you know what? Honestly, this one is a big one for me. Because in this film, like, they talk about him being in the zone. And that scene when he's playing piano and he actually apologizes at the end of it because he's so embedded in that moment that it, like, that to me is totally moving. And I think at one point, I think that that's one of the ways that they, if I'm correct, isn't that one of the ways that they're able to communicate, the way they almost use like a telephone when someone is in the zone? It's the, like, and one of them is a guy flipping a street sign, but he's in the zone.
Yeah.
See, I read a book a couple of years ago. I can't remember what the book was, but I remember this. So it's not only recommended, but I remember this part. And it said that one of the things about music is that it ties in with the image of God within everybody because of it being a creative act.
Oh.
You know, stemming from a creator, this is a creative act. And their argument was that's why congregational singing was important, because you have all these people, even if they can't sing well, and there are a lot of people can't. No, but I mean, the fact that we're coming together to create, mm-hmm. is in and of itself a spiritual act. And I think that there's something to that. Even going back to, and here I am, waxing spiritual here. If you go back to Genesis 1, read the creation accounts. You can read it in one of two ways. You can read it like a recipe. And a lot of people read it like a recipe and they destroy it. But if you read it like a poetic expression, there's a rhythm to it. There's a real rhythm to Genesis 1. As he creates, he speaks, and there it is. He speaks, and there it is, and it was good. He speaks, and there it is, and it was good. And it's like this building, rhythmic, beautiful, beautiful progression along. And I think that ties so deeply into what music is. And we don't all have to like the same thing. But like you said, Jordan, there is something that some aspect of music, and you guys both said this well, that connects with our story. Whether it's the joys, the pains, the whatnot, there's just something about it that penetrates whatever we put on the outside and can touch our soul in the most profound ways. And this film, I think, is so beautiful in the way that it doesn't just say, I like music. Music is good. It takes music as this profound experience. But it doesn't just stop there. Like I said, it takes other things as being profound experiences as well, from pizza to, well, flinging that street, the stop sign or whatever it is, you know, which kills me every time I see that film. It just makes me laugh. But he's like in the zone. He's like, this is his zone. That's music. And I don't know, I find something so, so profound about that. And I really like this idea of it being an imprint of the creator in each one of us in some way. I think that's why the arts are important. I don't want to go off on a whole tangent there, but I think that in some different way, each one of us has that imprint, whether we express it or experience it. And I think that that's pretty real. We didn't even touch on the mental health stuff.
Oh, that's another thing. That's another thing, because the whole parent thing that was going on there, I resonated with that a lot. My parents are very traditional. School, university, then work. If I ever came, Mom, I want to be a painter. Mom would be like, so painting's going to pay your bills? No.
You can't eat dreams for breakfast, Joey. That's what exactly. I love. Can't eat dreams for breakfast.
Exactly. But no, this movie was really well put together, and like, this is a movie I have to watch again. Definitely have to watch again, but to analyze this time.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, like you said, we could talk about it forever, but I think I'm pretty good with what has been said. I mean, there's things that I could bring up and feel like it would be good, but I think it's pretty complete. And I think, you know, as of recent, at least the ones that I've seen, I think Disney overall in their history, not everything, because not everything that they've done has been good, but there's a thread throughout their history and even as recent where they've been pretty good at making you think.
Yeah.
And it's not just all silly and fun and games and stuff, but like, you know, even with Onward, you know, Onward was another recent one.
Great.
And yeah, like it makes you think, you know, like it's pretty profound too as well. So, you know, like we mentioned Inside Out, and he this director that did Soul also did that. But yeah, there's, you know, they have a good thread of like, wow, like you can connect with their movies because it's not all about the external, but they do a very good job of highlighting the internal things. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I recommend this to everyone that's listening to this podcast. If you haven't seen it, you can see it right now on Disney Plus. If you don't have it, subscribe to it and watch it, or rent it or buy it on whatever DSPs or other, you're on your TV box, whatever it is. Yeah, and definitely watch it because this is a great movie, and it's a great movie to watch with your family. So you have kids and stuff like that as well. This is definitely one of those movies you want to watch with everyone, and everyone could be included in this, and you don't have to worry. Is something crazy in here? Is something that I don't want my kids to see in here? No, none of that is in there. It's a great movie, so definitely watch it. And Merry Christmas to all of y'all.
Ooh.
Happy holidays.
I know what I want for Christmas now. It's a DSV player, because I don't know what that is.
Oh, DSP.
What's a DSP?
Digital Service Provider.
Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to say DVD. I was like...
No. You can go on Apple and get it off your digital Apple, you know, your DSP.
Well, dang.
Buy it on there. On there. That's what you're just too old, Steve.
Well, but bro. I was gonna say that backfired on me big time, didn't it? I tried to make fun of you, and now I just look like an idiot. I agree. I mean, there have been some great movies in 2020 that people aren't gonna see, even though they have easier access to them, because it doesn't feel like a movie if it's on Netflix all the time or something like that. But this is a special, special film. And I think that, honestly, I recommend it to anyone and everyone, regardless of how old you are. You can watch it with your kids. You can. You absolutely can. But you don't. This is a movie that you don't even have to watch with kids. I really think it's a special film. So I recommend it too.
Yeah, watch it once too, man, because there's a lot in it. There's a lot to process. So watch it more than once. No, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Films in Full Color with my co-host Steve, with your boy Peace. Jordan, and with the homie Rico, who came back on to give his great perspective and wisdom. It was a pleasure, guys. I missed this, and this just shows me how much I want to get back into this and do this. Those couple of months, I had to take off, you know, I had to do it, but I really enjoy doing things like this. So it was good. And it was great to jump back in with you two specifically. So Cool. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Thanks, guys. This was fun. All right.
Peace.
Merry Christmas and peace. To all mankind? That was lame.